Well, good morning. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 2, the scripture reading that we had. That's where we'll begin. Appreciate everyone being here. As you could pick up on the scripture reading, David is nearing his death, and so he is giving his son Solomon some final thoughts. And the thoughts that we are focusing in on are when he says, to be strong and to prove himself to be a man. So I've titled the lesson, Prove Yourself a Man. The world judges manhood very superficial in their way of doing so. It is based on a man's muscles, his looks, his athletic abilities, his charm, his style. But David goes on to explain what he has in mind when he says to his son, be strong and prove yourself a man. Verse 3 says, and keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may fulfill his word which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So we see in verse 3 in particular what Solomon had in mind when he said, I want you to prove yourself to be a man. And so when the world judges this by a person's looks or their body style and things of that nature, as we mentioned, David recognized the importance of how a person is really determined to be a man, and that is by keeping the charge of the Lord, by walking in all of God's ways, by keeping his statutes, keeping his commandments, keeping his judgments, his testimonies. And so I have that on the right up there that really would sum that up by saying, obey God. Prove yourself to be a man. Obey God. His way, not your own way. And that is, I think, a good way for us to think about what Solomon is trying to tell his son before he passes on. Now, Paul told Timothy over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, really kind of the same thing. So look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verses 11 through 14. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. And see if he's not really saying much of the same thing, only choosing different words. So he says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called, have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing. So look at some of the things that Paul would tell Timothy and also encourage us, this idea of proving ourselves to be a man. Pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue gentleness, fight the good fight of faith, keep the commandments of God. And not only that, but keep the commandments of God without spot and blameless. Prove yourself to be a man. Again, you could say, well, he's basically saying you need to obey God. And not only that, but again, his way and not your own way. And that is very important for us to recognize as God's people. Now, for those of us, and the lesson will be directed towards the men, real manhood means a man will be determined to serve the Lord. A real man is going to be determined to serve the Lord. And so I want to look at just a few areas this morning, and the lesson will be yours. The first is what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5. So let's go back a few books to Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'm looking at verse 23, not 25 yet. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And so if we're going to prove ourselves to be a man, and we're going to do so by following the Word of God, and we're going to do it His way and not our own way, then we need to make sure that we are, in fact, leading our household. Men, you are the head of the household. That's what Paul is telling the men here, no matter what the world has to say about that. Let me say that again. You are the head of the household, no matter what the world has to say about that. You would understand that is not politically correct by one bit today, to say that the man is the head of the home. Well, now, are we going to follow God, or are we going to follow what the world is saying? Well, again, you think about the way the world would respond to that, and they would have a lot of how dare you, and that somehow that belittles the woman, and you're saying a lot of these things. Well, again, who we're arguing with would be arguing with God. Now, as I said, I'm going to be talking to the men, but there's like maybe 2 points in the lesson that I'm going to say something to the women. To the wives, you need to support your husband in that role, period. That's the role God has given him, and you need to support him in that. Not make it difficult for him, but support him as he is the head of the home, as he is the husband, is the head over the wife. So that made me think, well, what does it mean to lead the home? So this is one of those lessons where it's just like, lead your home, and you go, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, let's talk about what that means. Primarily, a husband and a father, if he be a father, needs to make absolutely certain his wife and his children know that the home serves the Lord. Period. If you want to lead your home, you need to make sure that your family understands that the home is going to serve the Lord. That's the statement, of course, that Joshua made. As for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. What you're doing by making that decision, by standing up and leading the home, what you are doing is you're giving the family direction and you're giving them guidance. They have direction, and it's under your guidance. And that is so important, because I've had the opportunity to, just a few weeks ago, sit and listen to a lesson that was brought here at the building and the study that the preachers are doing. And it was basically talking about the absence of fathers in the home and how that is causing so many problems, not only in the home, but it spills over into the way that the children behave in the classrooms and things of that nature. And so we're talking about following God's Word. And again, we had a lot of list of keeping His commandments, keeping His statutes. And so if you're going to lead your home, you're going to have to determine that the direction is going to be the Lord's way, and we will be under His guidance, and you're going to be the head that will steer it in that direction. Also look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. You're already there in 5. Look at 6:4, where he says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So here the father is given the instructions to bring up their children in the training and admonition of the Lord. The father teaches the children about God. And that is so important. And that takes years of devotion. That's not just something that, again, I've said before that it seems like a lot of men, their whole solution to that is, well, I'll just let the wife raise the children. And then you say, I'm the dictator, and now I'm dictating that over to you. Well, that's not what God tells the fathers to do. The father is to bring them up in the warnings, in the commandments, in the statutes. We can go back to Deuteronomy, and we can actually go back to what God had said about Abraham. God knew Abraham would teach his children. And then when we come to the law of Moses in Deuteronomy 6, he talks about how you'll be talking about them. You'll be talking about them as you walk and as you go. And so that is part of this bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so men need to be talking about the Lord. And not just talking about the Lord, but men have to faithfully serve the Lord. Men have to put the Lord first. Put the kingdom of God first in the home. And so if you're going to lead, and this is what we are instructed to do, there's the direction, and you're going to have to faithfully do those things. Because if there's one thing that I learned, children are very perceptive, and they recognize inconsistencies really quickly. And we cannot fool ourselves into thinking that that is not true. There are going to be times when you're leading the home that you'll have to make a decision for the household, and that decision must be made. And so when you have a decision that must be made, a good form of encouragement or a good jolt to the arms, like a picture of the old man, you know, boom, you know, bumping the other one, saying, you got, and it, I can just see, you know, boom, you know, prove yourself a man. Lead the family. Make the right choice of life. That's what we're called to do. And so it takes courage. There's no doubt it takes courage. And that's where a lot of this crumbles. But, you know, you have to stand up. If you're going to lead, you have to stand up against a world that is doing things wrong, promoting wrong. You've got to stand up and take courage against that. And sometimes we may even need the courage to do so when it's in our own house. It's not easy. That's why I say that the wives, the mothers need to support their husband, the father, in regards to these. Because it's not easy when it even has to take place in your own home. And so each of the passages that we've looked at the start of the lesson, it has that admonition. Not only was it said in our scripture reading, be strong, Solomon, follow the ways of God, but Paul told Timothy, be strong. You see, that's saying you're going to have courage and strength to be able to lead the household. Now, let me just pause and say, well, why would this be important? Because those under your leadership, their souls are at stake. Do you see how important that is? We're talking about souls that are at stake. And so it's going to take the strength to go against the whims of the world. It's going to take your strength to go against the whims of the child. Because there will be times that you will have to say to your son, to your daughter, no. No. No, you cannot go. No, you cannot wear that. No. You cannot do that. And that's not easy. Because if you understand when you say no, that sometimes that doesn't, they don't like you very much. But what are you trying to do? You're trying to lead the house. And so again, Joshua made that very emphatic statement, as for me and for my house, we will serve the Lord. So you can even follow up some of the, no, because we are following the Lord, and put things in perspective. And I would say for those men who have sons, that they have to recognize that what they're doing is they're also teaching their sons how to do the same. How to do the same when they grow up and they become a husband and they become a father. So what happens? And sadly, things repeat themselves. If they observe you failing to keep a commandment of God, that's going to make an impression upon them. If they observe you letting other things take priority over serving God, it's going to make an impression upon them. If they observe you studying the Scriptures on a regular basis, that's going to make an impression upon them. They need to hear you praying around the table. They need to be able to know that Dad is praying. He's someone who prays. They need to see you participating in the worship service. They need to see you actively engaged in worship. They need to see you prepared for worship, because it's going to leave a lasting example for them to follow. Cannot stress those things enough. It's not easy having to lead a home, but God knows that men are capable of doing that, because He's made us capable of doing exactly that. And so the second thing is this idea of loving your wife. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Look at verse 28. "So husbands ought to love their own flesh," "love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, and no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respect her husband." Love your wife. And so with this thought of each man needs to prove himself to be a man with regards to loving his wife. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, and again, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time breaking down a lot of the things that we talk about when we talk about loving our wife, but I want us to notice a few things that, and we're kind of looking at this idea of this is how I prove myself to be a man. Not by my looks, not by my physique and those types of things. By my smart, it's through my wisdom and my willingness to serve the Lord and follow His ways. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." It teaches us to dwell with our wives with understanding. Specifically, Peter mentions the physical and emotional differences as unto the weaker vessel. And maybe emotions aren't fit in there, but I want us to understand the differences between a man and a woman, and there are many. Even though a world today doesn't want to recognize that, doesn't want to acknowledge that, there most assuredly are. And so a man who wants to prove himself to be a man with regard to this will be concerned about the way he treats his wife, because your son is watching you. If you're uncaring, if you're unkind, if you're unloving, sadly, your daughter may seek out a man that treats her just like you treat her mom. How many times have we seen that? Over and over again. So we have to understand that these things are important because others are watching. And most importantly, of course, we understand that the Lord is watching. And so Peter mentions the truth that a husband must honor his wife, because did you notice he also says you must honor her because you are both heirs of the grace of life. She is also a Christian who is one who will inherit eternal life. And so you have that role. She has her role. And you must love her, understanding that you're both headed in the same direction. One is to lead, the other is to submit and be under subjection, as God would have it. But treating a woman well is not something that is dead in the home of a Christian who's following God's commands. It may be dead in the homes and the families all around us and in our country, but it's not that way in the home of a Christian. Because a Christian is going to prove himself to be a man and will follow God's will for him as a husband, for him as a father. And so there is a lot to be thought about when we think about how we are to lead by the way that we love our wife. And not only that, but we see that he is to be a good provider. In our study of the wisdom literature, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, we certainly understand how much God disfavors laziness. And yet there are a lot of men, and some of them are Christians, that they're just flat out lazy. And so they are not providing for the family. They leave that up to the wife and anybody else. And that certainly is not God's plan. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul puts it very plainly when he's talking about how there's a responsibility of a family to those that need care, the widow. But notice he says, and we understand this, but if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so there must be a providing. Worse than an unbeliever. And so the husband is going to provide for his wife. But he's going to provide for her what is needed. Now, dwelling with her according to knowledge or understanding, back in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, you know what that means? That means you're going to have to pay attention to what she needs. You have to be a good listener to understand what is needed. But here, you remember I told you there was a second time, let me caution the wives to not burden their husbands down with all of their wants, wishes, and desires. Have you ever heard of a young man who's just getting started with his young bride, and his bride wants him to provide all of the things that her daddy, who's been working for 25 years and has risen to quite a pay scale or whatever it is, and she expects him to provide everything that her daddy did? That's not fair to him, is it? And yet that's the way some approach things. So I would caution that type of attitude and heart. You remember, this is a union here. You're working together as in those that will inherit eternal life. And so we need to make sure that we give them. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 29, when he says to nourish and cherish them, that's what that's talking about. It's the idea of giving them and providing for them what they need. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. And I hope that you will take that, and there may be times that you need to be reminded of that. Now, here's something that fathers will want to teach their sons, of course, and that is the importance of work. How to work. The right attitude about work. The blessings of work. We've been talking a lot about that in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we would want to understand that there are things that we need to teach our children. This is one of those things that you talk about, it takes patience. I know my dad, being a school teacher, it was a whole lot easier for him to just show you. So how hard it must have been for him at times to say, okay, you do it. Because, and I know, having raised Simon and Nicholas, that yeah, it's a whole lot easier sometimes just say, I'll do it. I remember one time, for example, in Virginia, you had to have your car inspected. Well, they failed one of the motor mounts on the top. The guy said, that's an easy fix, $25. You just, pry the engine a little bit, take it out, and put a new one on. So I've got Nicholas out there on his car learning how to do this. And so I had him, got the 2x4 in there and did that, and we put it on, and then we're looking at it and thinking, can this go the other way too? I mean, is there a right way and a wrong way? So we decided, that was our mistake. That was my mistake. Decided to take it off and see. Well, the second time it didn't go so well because Nicholas put that 2x4 right on the plastic where the cap was of the radiator. Guess what we had to put on? Now we had to put a radiator on. And so teaching, letting, you know, those are the things that come along and you're like, wow, you know, but what do you do? It's like, well, they're learning. They learn. Will he make that mistake again? Well, no, he doesn't like to do those things, so somebody else will be doing that. But he could. He most assuredly could. Well, listen, your daughter will grow up desiring to have a young man that'll take care of her, just like you take care of her and you take care of her mom. So there's a lot to the fact that we have to prove ourselves to be men. Of course, the most important would be our spiritual, teaching the spiritual things, being a godly spiritual man. We saw that in the two verses. I saw this, and I thought this was really good. Men will see their work in the home as a responsibility rather than a position of rank. That's true whether it be an elder in the Lord's church, whether it be a preacher. It's you see it as a responsibility. It's not, there's no ranking. It's the work that you're called to do. And so here are just some thoughts to go along with some of these things. Well, you're going to have to master your emotions. And what I mean by that is you're going to have to keep your head. Because there are times in a family where the emotions will run all over the place. But as the head of the house, you'll have to keep a check on your emotions so you can be thinking clearly. Now that's not easy. That can be rather challenging. But we'll need to learn how to do that. Not only that, but we'll have to learn how to make the tough decisions. The decisions that nobody else will want to make. The Lord says you're the head. So you must have the authority of the home and over that home. And so you'll have to make tough decisions. But we're making decisions that will be pleasing unto God. And it may not always be something that's going to please the family. But we're not trying to please. Now, again, all of this, as I said, doesn't take into consideration. Does that mean you'll never consider anything your wife has to say and you won't want to know and you won't make? None of that is what I'm saying. But when there is a decision to be made, God expects the man, the husband, to make that decision. And you must be willing to stand against sin, the things that are against you when it comes to the world. The world right now is so backwards. And you're going to have the courage and the strength to stand against it. Because one of the things that children, of course, do is children, as they're growing up and maturing, they want to be accepted, they want to fit in, they want to belong. That all is natural. We can think back to when we were that way. But what is our responsibility is to make sure that there is no sin and to keep the family pure. Does that mean that they'll go off and pout and they'll be upset? Of course it does. I used to. But we'll have to accept that. That's what it means to be a parent, not a best friend. And you'll need to hold fast to your uprightness and your own integrity because they will see that in you. They will see your good name. and they will understand that they have a good name. Not only your family name, but the fact that you are a Christian, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And so you'll need to hold fast to your uprightness and your honesty. And you'll need to be willing to keep the commandments of God, which is what David told his son Solomon. That's how you'll prove yourself a man. And doing so will prove yourself a man. So my encouragement, be strong and prove yourself a man. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you have a wonderful opportunity. We're going to sing an invitation song. It's an invitation to invite you to come forward and to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today is a great day. November the 12th could be your born again day. Today that you go down into the waters of baptism and you come up having washed your sins away. We can help you do that. We'd love to take that good confession and baptize you into Christ. If you're a child of God and things are amiss, if there's something that needs to be said that we can pray with you and for you about, we would stand ready to do that as together we all stand and sing.